What does being born again mean? Let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean having some radical change in your personality, nor does it mean having some new outlook on life. Any atheist can have that. Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again, or you shall not even see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus in turn asked him, did he have to go back inside of his mother's womb again? And the answer was no. So what does it mean to be born again? The answer lies in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Verse 8 says, whosoever commits sin is of the devil. Well, do you know anybody who does not commit sin? Well, verse 9 then states, whosoever is born of God does not sin and cannot sin, because they are born of God. If you're born of God, it will not be a question of if you will sin or if you won't sin. Whosoever is born of God, according to Scripture, cannot sin. So, since you and I and every human being that has ever been born except Jesus Christ commits sin every day, how can we be saved? And Jesus is the answer. He was the only one born of God as the only begotten Son of God who does not and cannot sin. He was the prophesied Lamb of God that was to be born in Bethlehem stable. And now in our generation, he must be born again into our gospel believing hearts. What is the gospel? The gospel means good news. And the good news, according to the scripture, is that God was inside of Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins against them. Isn't that good news? That God so loved the world that he came in the person of Jesus Christ to reconcile the world unto himself by not counting their sins against them. Since God is a just God, the sins had to be accounted for. So Jesus Christ died in our place, dying for our sins and all of our transgressions. And he did this for every human being born from Adam all the way up to the last person that will be born on this earth. Their sins have been covered by Jesus Christ. He was made manifest to take away the sins of not just the Christians, but the whole world. So then what must we do to be saved? We have to repent. Since we sin every day, we can't repent of our sins because we're going to do it again tomorrow. The Bible says even our thoughts, if you think it in your heart, is counted as sin, and you can't turn away from your thoughts. Remember, the only person and the only part of you that is born of God is Christ in you if you have believed the gospel. He's the divine nature of Christ in you that does not and cannot sin, and therefore he is your ticket to heaven. That's why he's called our Savior. You also have another nature in you that's not so divine. It's called human nature, and it's human to sin. If you don't sin, then you are not a human. The nature of sin is human nature. The only nature that does not and cannot sin is the divine nature of Christ. And we need that nature. We need to be a partaker of that nature. How can we do this? That's where the new birth experience comes into play. You must believe that Christ's sacrifice on the cross, his death, blood, and resurrection, appeased the wrath of Almighty God towards your sins and gave you the free gift of eternal life. Why is it free? Because you can't be good enough to earn it. You can't give enough money to earn it. You can't have such an excellent moralistic personality to earn it. There's nothing you can do, good or evil, to earn eternal life. It's simply a gift from God to anyone who is a sinner and believes that Christ died for the ungodly and rose again. Romans 10, 9, and 10 states that it's so easy. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you need works, here's the works, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's just that easy. We want to obey the commandments to be saved. You can't be saved by obeying the commandments. The commandments were given to show you how far you missed the mark. Because if you break any of those commandments outwardly or inwardly in our desperately wicked hearts, we're lost. And there's nothing you can do to repair it. The only sacrifice that appeases God was the sacrifice he gave the world to give to him. That's the sacrifice of his son. The only reason why anyone will go to hell, it won't be because of their sexual attitudes. It won't be because of their sinfulness, for we're all sinful. It won't be because that they were stingy. It won't be because they didn't keep enough commandments. The only sin that's being charged against any human being is the sin of unbelief. For the only unforgivable sin is not to receive the forgiveness of sins bought and paid for by the death, blood, and resurrection of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to partake of eternal life, all you must do is believe that Christ died for your sins and that his payment was enough to satisfy God's wrath toward you, and that God raised him from the dead as a receipt that you have eternal life. In order for you to have eternal life, Christ must be raised from the dead, because he died in your place. And for him to be raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. For you were dead in your trespasses and sins as far as God was concerned, and now Christ has redeemed you. He's brought you back to life through his offering of himself. The Bible says, by one offering, the offering of the body of Christ, has he perfected forever those who are sanctified. And then it states, and we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Therefore, in the eyes of God, once you receive his sinless Son into your heart, who says, once he's there, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he's in there to stay. He is the Lord. He is your salvation. Again, you still have human nature in you that wars against the divine nature in you. And that struggle will continue until the day you die. Good versus evil, evil versus good. Christ versus your human nature does not want to be dominated by Christ. Now, just because you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you have eternal life does not mean that you're going to live in such a way that people are going to see Christ in you. When Christ was down here, no one saw God was in Christ. They called him a devil, and he was the authentic, sinless Son of God. So how can we live in such a way that people are going to see Christ in us? They might see us as a good Joe, but an authentic Son of God? Never. No one ever imputed that to Christ. It must be revealed by God the Father that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. And only by his sacrifice can your sins be washed away, by his death, blood, and resurrection, for you to receive the free gift of eternal life. Will you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I come. I accept the payment of my sins by his blood that was shed for me. Thank you for dying for my sins, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. I want you to be my righteousness. I want you to be my holiness. I want you to be my sanctification, and you are my Redeemer. I receive you into my heart as my salvation, never to leave me nor forsake me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just because you're saved, there will be no radical changes in your personality. There will be no new outlook on life, but you probably are now experiencing the refreshing that comes by knowing that all of your lifetime sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven by the one offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, in order for you to become someone who is a representative of Jesus Christ, a good representative, or an ambassador, you must be disciplined in the faith. It's called discipleship. Just because you're saved does not mean you're a disciple. Just because you're an American does not mean you are patriotic. We have a lot of Americans who are in jail today because they were so unpatriotic, they disobeyed the doctrine of the land or the laws of the land. So it is with born-again Christians. Just because Christ is now born into your heart, you still have a human nature which does not follow the laws of God, which rebels against the law of God, which doesn't want to go to church, which doesn't want to read his Bible, which doesn't want to pray. We have to bring that nature under the control of the Lordship of Christ. And it's only by renewing our mind can we do this. For the Bible states, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We have to renew our mind with the Word of God to receive what God's Word has for us, so we can discipline ourselves so that we can live a just and consecrated life to the purposes and plans and wills of God. Okay? Well, God bless you and keep you, cause his grace to shine upon you and give you peace. I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?
Now, may I invite you to a personal Bible study. Click on the scroll on page 7 that says Good News Bible Study.